Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 17, and I'm going to be reading about Paul in Athens on Mars Hill. A lot said about this, but it's the way he says it, what he says, how he relates to people that I think we need to learn from, that we need to learn how to go and talk to people about Jesus Christ. And I keep talking about this, that we need to be personal evangelists. We need to go out. We need to talk to those that are around us, those we encounter, to present that message. But there is nothing in the Bible or no example we've got from Jesus or any of these apostles that we're supposed to be mean about this, that we're supposed to go out there and slam people over the head. Been in church all my life, and I've been slammed over the head. I've seen other people slammed over the head by people that would go out and they've got this condescending attitude and looking at people, and you know, we call it looking down their nose at them. And you know, you're there, I'm up here. You know, if you ever want to be right, you know, you got to do this. And that's not what we ought to be doing. That's not how we ought to be doing it. That's not the way that the Bible gives us this message. I mean, we can be very direct. We can be very poignant about what we say and give the facts, but we don't have to be mean in that respect either. And so this is a great example. I'm going to start in verse 22. I've got a lot of reading here. I'm going to read down through 31 because I think it's so great. So then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that ye are in all things, ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar unto the description to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship until him I declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Okay, Paul is waiting for the rest of them to get there. He goes out walking. He starts looking around. He starts trying to find some way to relate to the people, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to relate to them. And so he's looking at all these gods that they've got statues of down this way. And you know, they want to make sure that they paid homage to every single one of them. They didn't want to miss any one of them. So what they'd done is they had one, and they had an inscription to the unknown God, just so that, you know, in case they missed something, that they would be okay, that they would not make any God in their mind mad. And so Paul's going out through there. Now, you know, there's a lot of ways he could have done it. He could have stepped up and go, "You know, you're all a bunch of idiots. You're worshiping all these gods, and not a one of them is really God, and you're all stupid." And I've heard people say stuff like this. Again, it's awful, you know. And I'm thinking, you're not going to win anyone to Christ, you know. But they are proud of themselves because they made someone mad. Yeah, I really got them, you know. I told them off, you know. I did. That's not what it is, and that's not what Paul does. And even sometimes we may read this and we think, well, man, he was being harsh, but he wasn't really, you know. He stood up, and what he basically said is this: "Man, you guys are some religious people, man. I want to commend you, you know, that you really are." Because he said, "I can see that you're too superstitious. You've got all this stuff, you know, you're really trying. You made a great effort here, but, you know," and he said, "I found this inscription to this unknown God." He said, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship." He said, "Without knowledge." That's what ignorance is. He said, you without knowledge, you are worshiping. And he said, "I'm here to tell you who he is." So he didn't say, you know, all these other gods are a bunch of hooey, you know. He didn't cut them down. he tells them, you know, man, you're very superstitious and you're so bound and determined to make sure everything's right that you made this inscription to the unknown God. And he said, I saw that. And he said, you know, it just made me want to tell you something. I know who he is. And that's what we need to take to the world. You know who he is. We know who God is. We need to let you know, you know, it's not somewhere out there, right here. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's God. He died on the cross, you know, bring it to them, you know, and, you know, you don't have to cut them down. You don't have to tell them what they've done wrong. They know what they've done. You know, your responsibility is get them saved. Once you, they get saved, then you start teaching them. And they, when they want to learn, you know, they'll come to you, you know, what about this? What about this? And that's when you start turning, tables and start teaching them how to live, you know, and let them come in that direction to learn. People, you know, they don't know how to live as a Christian until they become one. As a child of God, they've got to become one first. And that's what our responsibility is to take it to them. And then after that, to teach them and show them by example, by word, you know, get in here and let them know that. So anyway, Paul does this. And I really love this about Paul because he's a just favorite character of mine in the Bible. And I say character, but he's a real person. And I love the way he does this, you know, and he had enough intelligence, to relate the facts to them, but he had enough compassion to relate it in a way that they could understand. We've got to take both. It's not enough to just have a head knowledge and say, hey, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to just tell them the facts. I'm going to quote the Bible to them, you know. That's not what he did. He told them something, and then he told them, I know who this is. You ignorantly, without knowledge, without anything knowing, you've got this God. But he said, now I can tell you. I can enlighten you. I can educate you. I can help you along. And he goes on to say, God that made the world. See, he starts in. God that made the world. And he didn't say, you know, there's only one God, and if you're worshiping him, no, he didn't do this. And I want to just keep emphasizing that what he did not do, as well as what he did. He didn't cut them down. He didn't hurt them, but he starts educating them and telling them what he wants to tell them. He says, God who made the world. You know, John talked about this, that all was made by him and nothing was made that was made without him. And he was talking about Jesus Christ. And so Paul is using this and letting them know that this God is the one that made the world. He wants them to understand that. Now, in their mind, it would have been a God, you know, as he was speaking, you know, and I'm sure they were listening to it and just thinking, okay, here's another one, you know, we need to add to this. But Paul's going to bring this around that there's just one. But he said, the God who made the world, God that made the world in all things, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He's elevating this. All these other things, they've got temples and everything that they've made to these gods so that they can pay homage to them. But now he's throwing something on them. He said, this unknown God that you're talking about, that you didn't know who it is, that's God that made the world. And he's not living in a temple that you made with your hands. So he's already putting this, you know, this is God. This is not just someone. This is God. And he's not in these temples made with hands. So he's differentiating him right away from everything. And that's what we've got to do with Jesus. We've got to differentiate him from everything. We can't go and act like the world and be the world. And then everyone go, well, yeah, that's what I want. I want that. No, Jesus is different. We are different. We're supposed to be different from the world. We're not supposed to be the same. This idea that, oh, if we'll be like the world, then we can get them in here and we can tell them, that's never worked. That's not what was done. Jesus didn't do that. Paul didn't do that. None of the apostles did that. None of these people that brought all these things did that. They differentiated. They were different, and they wanted everybody to know that. They wanted to understand. We are different. And here's how. And so Paul's letting them know that. He said, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He doesn't need a statue. He doesn't need a monument over here, something that looks like him. You know, he had these all erected and what they would look like and everything. He said, he's not worshipped in a temple made with hands. He doesn't need us to make something with our hands. He is God. He is Almighty. So they're putting, you know, he's putting this out here. This is who he is. You know, you need to understand this. He's not the rest of these. And that's what he's saying without saying it, but he's saying it in a way that he can keep them in there, that they'll listen to him. And I just thank God for it because he's got me in there. I'm like, wow, that's really good stuff. You know, I want to listen to Paul and what he's got to say. When you bring the message to Jesus Christ, you got to tell him what it is. What is it that you have? You know, you worship somebody. Or yeah, you know, he's a good guy. No, you got to let him know. I worship the Lord of the world. Everything. You say, well, I thought Satan was in charge. Well, he's given permission to do what he's doing. Jesus is Lord over all. Everything, even Satan. And he's got it all. That's who I worship. I want you to understand who he is, and I want to bring it to you. He said, and hath made of one blood all nations of men. Now, again, Paul is uniting. And we hear a lot about that. We don't want division. We want uniting. Well, that's what Paul is doing. He's creating a division of these gods versus the God, these things they've made versus the true and living God. But then he's going and saying, look, we're all of one blood, all nations. This is what God did. He created everybody. And the reason he's doing this is because he wants you to understand, I don't care where you came from. I don't care what nation you came from. I don't care what language you speak. I'm letting you know this God is God of all. God of all the entire world, all nations. They're all under him. Everybody. You know, we look around and we create these divisions among ourselves. Well, you know, they're over there. You know, they do that for a living, or they do this, or that's their skin color, or, you know, their religion, their church, their denomination. We create divisions all the time amongst ourselves, sometimes among families or whatever it is. We try to do that, I think, a lot of times, and we succeed so much of the time by hurting people and pushing them down. And that's why we're doing it. We want to create someone that's less than ourselves so that we can elevate ourselves. And Paul's going to say, no, you don't do that. And the entire Bible talks about that. You don't do that. You elevate Jesus Christ. You put him at number one, and then these others fall into place, and you'll have it right. You put yourself in that place. You're not up here number one. Your kids are not up here number one. Your spouse is not up here number one. It's Jesus. And if we do that, then we'll have it all together. So he's telling us, all nations, for to dwell on the face of the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He created everything is what he's saying. Every single person is here. Every single person from anywhere and nation, and doesn't matter what continent, you are created by God. And he created the boundaries of where you live. He placed all this in there. He made it all. He did it all. And it's all about him and not about me. And you understand this too. Paul he's not one time said, look, I am his emissary, and I just want you to understand, you know, that who I am. He doesn't do that. He's talking about Jesus. When we talk to people about Jesus, it's about him, not about us. It's not about us being able to put the name in our Bible and say, oh, I led that one to the Lord. You know, that's like putting notches on your gun belt or something, you know. No, this is all about him. He said he made all these nations. You know, I'm taking it to you. And look, you know, there were people traveling at that time too. And I'm sure they were there from places that were bringing goods in, and they were listening to this. They're going to take that back with them. Planting seed. That's what it's all about. You know, we've got to get it out there when we can. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. You know, Jesus talked about this, said there's going to be few that find that way. It's narrow and there's few that's going to find it. But look, we need to keep on. He said that we'll find him. But he says this, he said, even though he's not very far from any of us, he be not far from every one of us. He said he can be found. That's what he's saying. He said if they'll find him, but he said he's not very far. I can tell you he's close. You got to do this, and you can look and you can find him. Well, thank God for that. Amen. He said he moves on too as this, because he's going to continue this differentiation between these statues, these things that are made, and the true living God. Because he says, even your poets said it. Now he's sucking them in. He's sucking them in even more, you know, re-engaging with them. He said, you know, I'm telling you this, but even your own have said this, you know, that we be God's offspring. You know, we're offspring of him. We're his creation. And so he continues on. He said, in being that, he said in verse 29 that we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver. In other words, you cannot quantify, you cannot make anything, because he is a God that created us, and he made everything, and we're his, and by doing that, he has done all this, and we can't make him gold and silver. We can't do this. You can't. He owns the gold and silver. He has planets. He has everything. That's what he keeps on going on with this and telling them. There's another reason. And so he's said all these things. He said, I know who this unknown God is, so I can tell you, I can help you out today. He said he's the one that made everything. He's the one that created it all. Everything that you know, he made the world that we know. He said, so he can't be in temples. He said he can't be worshipped by making something because of this, because he made the world, so you can't make anything for him. He made all people and all nations of one blood, so they're all related. He created them, and so by doing that and knowing that we are his creation, that we can't make him with silver, with gold, and all this other stuff, no matter how precious you think it is. Yeah, it's not God. And so he's bringing this too. And he said, then he goes on to this in verse 30. And he said, because of all this stuff that I just told you, who God is, this unknown God that you didn't know until just a few seconds who he was, he said, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at. You didn't know before. You didn't know, so God winked at it. In other words, he said, okay, you don't know yet. But look, I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to this right now, you're watching whatever you're doing, you know now. You can say, well, I didn't know before. Well, you do now. You know that Jesus Christ is the one that created everything. You know that. And you're getting ready to know some more stuff. He said, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. What does that mean? That means to not just be sorry you got caught, but sorry you have done that. To have that repentance in your heart is to come to God and go, I've sinned against you. I have hurt you. I've done wrong to you. That's what repenting is. It's coming and saying, I know I did something wrong here. And I'm so sorry. And I just want to repent of that. And I want to never do that again. That's repentance. You know, it's not just coming and going, hey, God, would you clean my slate so I could go and do this again? You know, because I've really piled this thing up. It's not like the, you know, in the Christmas Carol where he's, you know, a guy comes back and he's talking to Scrooge and he tells him, you know, this chain is what you built up, you know. That's not what this is about. It's not going and saying, hey, could you knock a couple of links off my chain? You know, it's getting a little heavy. No, this is going to Jesus and saying, hey, I've got that sin nature and I don't want to have that anymore. I want to get rid of that. And I don't want to be there again. I want to be yours. I want to follow after you. That's what repentance is. And he's saying that's who, what it is. And in verse 31, he talks, he says, because he hath appointed a day. He's appointed a day. You know, there is a day coming. You know, sometimes you may hear that. Well, you know, there's a day coming, you know, and you may have heard that in church. You may have heard said about it. And he said, in which he will judge the world in righteousness. You know, and over in Hebrews, it said it's appointed unto men once to die. And then the judgment, there is a judgment coming. If you are a saved person, the Bible talks about the Bema seat, judgment seat of Jesus Christ, where we're going to be judged for what we've done in our bodies, both good and bad. So Christian, you think you're done. You don't have a judgment, that you're absolutely wrong. The Bible says this. He's saying this right now. There will come a day. And we can look at this, and so many times, you know, we see people that get by with stuff and we'll say their day is coming. Their day is coming. And that's the truth. We hear songs that are written about that because they see other people, but they know this is coming. And honestly, your worst enemy is not someone that you want to be in the wrong judgment. Because the Bema Seat is for Christians, but the great white throne of judgment is for those that did not accept Christ. There is no hope for them. It's done. Their eyes closed in death and with the rejection of Jesus Christ. That means not accepting him. And they are bound for hell, which can be cast in the lake of fire with Satan and all those angels that followed him and all those that had rejected Jesus Christ, did not accept him. That's not what I want for you. That's not what any child of God should want for anybody else. Now, we shouldn't be going around telling people, well, you just go to hell, because we shouldn't be doing that. We don't want them to do that. That's not our desire. As a child of God, you shouldn't desire that. Hey, maybe somebody treated you wrong. I understand that. I've been treated wrong, but still, you should not want that for them. You should want them to accept Jesus Christ. He said, in righteousness, they shall be judged by that man whom he hath ordained. Now, he's letting them know who Jesus is, that man he ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. I'm telling you right now, getting saved is not insurance. It's not fire insurance. And I've heard people say that, well, you know, I got my fire insurance, you know, so I don't burn in hell. That's not what it is. It's life assurance. It's assurance with an A, you know, that we are assured that we have a home in heaven. We are assured that we have eternal life, that we're not going to have that eternal death that we talk about, you know, that an eternal death is just that. It's all the time. It never stops. It never stops. And I'm going to tell you, you know, eternity is a hard concept for anybody to grasp. You know, it's just beyond us because, you know, our minds are finite and God's is not eternal. Is just something that's just too much for my mind, because nothing in my life is ever eternal. Everything I know rots and decays and dies, and it's always been that way. And so to understand eternal life, it's going to be something that I'm going to get when I get there. But right now it's tough, but that doesn't mean I don't believe it. That doesn't mean that it's not real. Just because you can't grasp it or I can't grasp it or something else in that realm doesn't mean that it's not real. It is real. And he says he hath given assurance unto all men. It's assurance. I assure you this is going to happen. When Jesus promises something, it's going to happen. It's in here and it's going to. Titus talks about this and said, God who cannot lie. Cannot. It is not in his nature to be able to lie. Everything he said is true. Everything he's written down here is true. Now, he's inspired these guys to give us these truths, and it's the assurance to all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. He's alive. Jesus is alive today. You know, you say, well, he died on the cross. Yeah, but he rose from the dead to be the first of the resurrection. The first fruits of the resurrection is what the Bible talks about. He is the first result of that resurrection. There will be a resurrection day. Paul talks about this. He told him, he said, I don't want you to be worried about those that have died in Christ, because those early Christians, they were looking for Jesus to come back in just a few years. They were looking over here, looking over there, you know, looking up, you know, hey, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. They were expecting that. And then they had a few that had died, and then they had the question, what about these guys that have died? You know, they were expecting Jesus to come back, and he's not got here yet. What about them? Paul said, well, I'm going to tell you about them. He said, we're not going to prevent them. We're all going to be changed, but they're going to be brought out of that grave. Their body's going to be changed as well, but this is going to be first. We will not prevent them. That says we won't go first. They will. It's going to be such a fast thing. I'm sure it's going to be imperceptible, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, I'm just, and I've talked to different people. I think the graves are going to bust open. I've heard other people going, nope, no, nothing will be disturbed. Okay. Maybe not. It doesn't really matter. It's just, you know, I think that someone else thinks something different, but I do know this. Those are going to be resurrected, brought up. Their bodies are going to be changed. Those that have turned to dust, it's going to be reconstituted into a body, eternal body, a body that doesn't die. You know, it won't have that mortal anymore. It'll be immortal, and it'll be sinless, and it'll be perfect the way it's supposed to be. Those that are still alive, we will be changed with them. Thank God for that. I just know these things because it's in the Bible, not because I created them, but it's because it's there. So he's saying he's given us that assurance. So we can look at this and, Paul lowered this down so they could understand it. He gave it to them in a way that was not condescending, but uplifting and factual about God and bringing all this. And then he brought it back down to them who it is, this one who was raised from the dead. And I'm sure that they'd already started hearing about this. And so he's just bringing it back to them. Now, you say, wow, if I do all of that, is everything going to be great? You know, everybody's going to listen to me? No, not at all. That's not the way this works either. You can be as kind-hearted as you can be. You can be down on someone's level. You can get to know them, but that doesn't always mean that. Verse 32. Here's the result. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Okay, so when you give this out and you talk about the resurrection of the dead, some people are going to mock you. There are those that are out there like, when you're dead, and that's all there is to it. Everything is over. You know, you don't have any consciousness. You don't have any this, that, you know, they're downers, but that's what they believe. It just doesn't happen. Well, everything's right here, right now, you know, and there are those people today that are going to tell you there is no resurrection. No one has ever raised from the dead. No one ever will. You're dust, you know, when everything blows up, that's just it. Now it's all over. So some did mock him and some will mock you. They'll tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. They'll say, nope, not going to happen. And you need to be prepared for that. That doesn't mean you should stop. That doesn't mean you should kick back and say, well, I don't want to do that anymore. Keep on keeping on keeping on and keep on telling people about Jesus. Keep on doing it. Take it out there to them. You know, be bold about it. Paul was very bold here. He didn't have to stand up. He could have come by and said, hey, feller, come here. You know, I just want to talk to you. Instead, he got up and said, I need to talk to everyone. I just got something to say here. If you want to listen to me, I'll talk to you. He was very bold, but he was very kind-hearted to them by telling them this. Now, some of them mocked, but it said, and others. So there's going to be others. Okay, so you're going to have some that are going to come to you, and they're going to mock you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to tell you you believe in fairy tales, all kinds of things. If you've been around for a while, you've heard it. Some will get mad at you. Some will get mad at you. And those are the ones that, I mean, I think God's really dealing with, and that's what they're wanting you to get away from them as quickly as possible because, they're under that conviction and they don't want to hear it because they know what it means and they know they need to accept it, but they're just wanting to reject it. And so they reject you. Don't let that bother you. But you know, don't deal with that. Just keep on. Go with somebody else and talk to somebody else. It said, some others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So some said, well, I want to hear a little bit more about this. I want to hear something more. And it may be that you talk to somebody and you may not get to talk to them again, but some, you know, they're saying, hey, I'd like to hear a little bit more about this. I've been on the phone with people, you know, for customer service and talk to them and they, you know, I can't talk to you anymore about this. And I would say, here, I want to give you a website. That somebody that I know, and this before I had a ministry where I had a website or anything, go out there so you can hear this message. Would you please do that? And just write it down. And they said they did, you know, and somebody else will talk to them. I've witnessed to people, and by witness, I mean tell them about Jesus Christ, where it was obvious. Somebody had already talked to them. Somebody had already watered. Sometimes you're the first person that's really talking. I talked to a woman on the telephone one time, and she said, I've never heard about this. I've never heard anybody say anything about this. And sometimes somebody's already talked to him. Somebody's already watered. Paul's planting seeds here. All these people, want to hear it again. Maybe they didn't hear Paul, but somebody else came in and talked to him. Don't be shy about this. Take it out to them. Let them know. And if they don't accept Christ right in front of you, that's okay. You know, because maybe somebody else will come in and they'll tell them something else because they want to hear about it. Continue to take it. That's what this ministry here is, Word is Alive. We want to continue to take the gospel to everybody. We're doing it through media of all kinds, you know, audio and YouTube and Facebook and everything. Please help us to do that. We're supported by you. We continue to need that. Your prayers, your financial support. This does cost money. And if you get saved, we want to hear about it. Put it on our Facebook page. Go to our website. Let us know about that, because we want to hear about your life in Christ, or if God touched you in some way. And get out there and tell somebody about Jesus. My name is Charles Morgan with Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you for allowing me to be with you.